Excited to be back here again to talk about local sports. And that's what the show's about, local sport.
On ESPN Radio, Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400, and FM 104.3.
And good morning, Savannah, Hilton Head, and the Low Country, which is the Low Country. I'm Carl DeMasi. Welcome to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah. It's Saturday, August 19th, 1 week from kickoff. It's 77 degrees outside. Really feels like almost 90 degrees, and the humidity is going to be up there, but it's going to be a beautiful day. And we're right in here, right in the ESPN Savannah Mall studio, and it's the college preview fan show with the man himself. I don't know if this is the third. I think this is the third year we're doing this. Columnist. It's the fourth year. The columnist, Stephen Elmo Weeks. And we have a special guest. He's biting at the bits. He's a Bulldog fan. And we're going to have Jack Weeks. Jack Weeks is going to be our Georgia football. I always mess that word up. Analyst.
I think I'm hoping that my son Jack, who's eight, doesn't replace me permanently as your guest host on the college football preview show, because he's pretty good and he knows what he's talking about.
Well, we know he's already better than you at golf, but
yeah, he actually is better than me at golf. That's right.
So just to get into it, we're gonna get local Georgia fans and not Georgia fans. We're gonna get local college football fans. They're gonna break down their teams. The lineup is in the first game, which is the first hour from 9 to 10. We're gonna open up the show with Stephen and myself breaking down stuff, talking about what's going on in college football. Then we're going to go to Georgia Tech with
Leah Colby. I think this is a really special guest for us. Her husband, Ted Colby, who was a good friend of mine, big Georgia Tech fan, passed away 9 months ago. The entire Georgia Tech community misses him, but we're going to talk about how much Georgia Tech football meant to the Colby family and also get Leah to let us know what she thinks is going to happen this season for the Yellow Jackets.
Well, it's going to be a good one, rambling wreck. A little bad news yesterday. We'll get into that later on. And let's go to the third quarter. I'm going to bring on a former football player for me at Groves High School. He was my punter. He was a defensive back, wide receiver, and he did a great job. Went over to Georgia Southern, got into their athletic department, marketing department. Now he's the marketing department director at Calvary Day School, Gordon Hunter. He's going to break down the Eagles from Georgia Southern, who were at Armstrong last night.
Yeah, that's right. I heard about that. And then I guess in your next quarter, we're going to have one of the funniest people in Savannah, is Charlie Russo.
This man's always fishing for something.
Yeah.
Charlie Russo is going to break down his trips to Notre Dame. That's right. Him and a group of guys, buddies of his, go to Notre Dame, go to South Bend. They always take in a Notre Dame game. Well, this year's something special, Mr. Weeks.
Yeah.
Georgia,
yeah.
Notre Dame.
Yeah. I'm starting to regret not booking that trip, Carl. We thought about doing it. We haven't put it in. It might be, like I said, it might be a last-minute splurge for the Weeks family to get up there.
I'm telling you, though, Stephen, I love Georgia. I really do. I've always loved Georgia football. I don't know what. I've gravitated to the South. I finally moved to the South. I mean, I'm going back. I love the Atlanta Falcons with Willie White Shoes Johnson. And, I mean, I've always followed football here in Georgia. I don't know why, but it's tough when we talk Georgia Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Tough, because you know why.
I know it.
1980.
That's your guys.
The Dogs beat the Irish for the national championship. But anyway, game number two, 10 o'clock. First segment. It's going to be a lot of fun. This lady, if you want to talk about somebody that loves football, and it just so happens it's a coach's wife, and she's been following this man for about 18 years out at Wabash College and now at Savannah State, we're going to get the first lady of Savannah State football on here to talk about the Savannah State Tigers, Liz Rayburn. I mean, like you said, we got something special going on here. That's going to be a lot of fun. Then we'll go into the second quarter of the second game. We were trying to get Bill Richard, Clemson, Mylon Richard, Calvary Day School, but at 10:15 or 10:30, when it's supposed to come on, he's going to be sitting in the stands in Clemson watching his son play their scrimmage, and he said it's going to be too crazy for him to come on. So we went to the alternative plan, which was Stephen Weeks' idea. Let's get Nick Fitzgerald's dad, Derek Fitzgerald. I didn't know this. He coaches at Savannah Christian.
Hey, Nick Fitzgerald is getting a lot of publicity this year. He could, you know, he's even getting a little bit of mention as a dark horse Heisman candidate, and I watched him play a lot last year. I did not see him play when he was at Richmond Hill, but I actually watched somehow three or four games he played last year. This kid is exciting. I wish he was not coming into Sanford Stadium, I'll tell you that much, because he's going to be tough to deal with.
Well, I'm telling you, I watched him in high school, and what made this kid special, I knew he was going to be a D1 player. I didn't know how good he was going to be. Where I was last night, I called the game last night, our ESPN game day, fueled by End Market, our high school game of the week, was down there between the bricks at Glen County Stadium. We had BC take it on Glen Academy. I watched Nick Fitzgerald, no exaggeration, Stephen, he carried five Red Terrors, Glen Academy is called the Red Terrors, on his back, 25 yards for a touchdown. That's how strong he was in high school. Plus, he could throw the ball.
Yeah.
So you knew he was going to be something special. So we're going to talk about Nick Fitzgerald and Mississippi State with his dad, Derek Fitzgerald, who is, I found out, like I just said, a coach at Savannah Christian. Then we're going to go to Athens, between the hedges, with our Georgia analyst, the none other than getting his first time on radio, Jack Weeks. Jack, you excited?
Yep.
Just talk right into that mic.
Yep.
What's so great about Georgia football? What do you like?
What do you like about Georgia football, buddy?
That they're good, but not as good as most teams, and it's fun to watch them try to beat other teams.
Not as good as other teams, but you know they
now
are.
Listen,
pretty good.
Now listen, Carl. This is a boy that was raised in my house, so he's not exactly a Georgia homer. He's an objective Georgia fan.
We know that with you. I mean, tell us straight from the hip what's going on with Georgia football. You can do the same thing, right, Jack? You got it.
We talk honestly about Georgia football in our house.
And then we'll finish the show out. We'll give you our predictions, what we think about the local teams, what they're going to do here. So quickly, go to the scoreboard. Last night, the Braves lost again, 5-3 in SunTrust Park to Colorado. They'll be right here on ESPN Radio, where you're source for Atlanta Braves baseball, Atlanta Hawks basketball, Atlanta Falcons football, and, of course, UGA football, which is coming up on September 2nd. What's next? They play tonight at 7:10 in SunTrust Park. Julio Teheran takes on Robert Stevenson at 7:10. First pitch, Cincinnati Reds. Pro football, Falcons will come back for their second preseason game on August 20th in Pittsburgh. They lost their preseason game 23-20 to Miami. College, like I said, Georgia opens up September 2nd, App State, 6:15 on ESPN. Georgia Tech opens up Monday night, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I mean, it's beautiful. If you've seen the picture of this place, I got to get up there. 8 p.m. Monday night on Labor Day night, September 4th, against Tennessee, and that's on ESPN. Georgia Southern opens on September 2nd, going to Auburn. Going to be tough. That's on the SEC channel. And then, of course, Savannah State opens up September 9th at App State. SCAD women kicked off the season. They won their first soccer match in overtime against Georgia Gwinnett Thursday night. They return August 20th to take on Brunel University right here in Savannah, Georgia. PGA, which is your neck of the woods here, the columnist Stephen Ellen Weeks. He writes a column every week. There'll be one out tomorrow. Quickly.
Huge weekend for the PGA Tour because this is the last weekend before the FedEx Cup starts, and there are a ton of guys on the leaderboard who are scrabbling and fighting to get into that first position. They got to be in the top 125, and there's a lot of guys right on the border. It's interesting, if you're watching this golf tournament, watch the movement. One putt can make a lot of difference.
Big difference.
You can see a guy move up, you know, 5-10 spots just based on one putt. So huge weekend for the PGA Tour.
All right, and we'll go quick. Our man on the Champion Store, Gene Sowers, is playing at the Dick's Sporting Goods Open in Endicott, New York. He's tied for 35th at 1-under. He's 6 off the lead. Brian Harman, playing in the PGA Tour, has off, and as Steven said, he's 10th in the FedEx Cup, so we don't have to worry about Brian Harman getting into the tournament. And our guys that are playing in the PGA Latino American Tour, Mark Silvers and Tim O'Neill. Tim O'Neill is tied for 3rd at 3-under, and Mark Silvers is tied for 31st at 1-over in the Abierto del Paraguay Copa, okay, in Paraguay, so wherever that may be. Local news, quick scoreboard. Last night, football. Jenkins beats New Hempstead 28-6. Calvary beats Islands 20-0. Tiff County beats South Effingham 42-0. Coffee County beats Effingham County 35-13. Benedictine all over Glen Academy 33-8. In Class A, Jefferson County comes in and beats Savannah Christian 37-13. In Giza, Valwood beats Memorial Day 34-0 down there in Valdosta. St. Andrews all over Palmetto Christian 42-6. Lawrence Manning comes in and beats Bethesda 56-0. Now we are going to be heard in Hilton Head a lot now, so we got to go to Hilton Head scoreboard. Hilton Head Christian 20, St. John Paul. It's John Paul II, 26, Hilton Head Christian 20. Orangeburg Prep all over Hilton Head Prep, 46-7. Ridgeland Hardyville 12, Thomas Hayward 8. Hannon 27, May River 8. Swansea 28, Battery Creek 13. And Buford 14, Wando 10. Coming up, we're going to talk a little Georgia Tech football with
Leah Colby.
So stay tuned. We're going to give you a breakdown what the Rambling Wreck are doing, and this is special for this guest, and I can't wait to speak to her. It's all right here on ESPN Radio, AM 1400, FM 104.3. We also are on the internet at ESPNCoastal.com. So if you get out of your car, go to your computer, ESPNCoastal.com. Click on the left button at Savannah Hilton Head. Or just download it on your smartphone. ESPN app, mobile app, go to Savannah Hilton Head. Go to TuneIn Radio, TuneIn, T-U-N-E-I-N Radio, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah. We'll be right back, kicking off college football.
Now, back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for asking, Steven. It really means a lot. It's a great tribute to Ted.
And welcome back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah. Yes, we're a week before college football and no other fourth year in a row. You got the columnist, Stephen Elmo Weeks, and me, Carl DeMasi, giving you the college football fan preview show. And we're going to start out with the Ramblin' Wreck. And this next guest is joining us on the ESPN Radio Savannah Smiles mobile hotline, and it's Leah Colby.
Leah, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Stephen.
Good.
How are you?
Well, we're doing pretty good. For those of you who didn't know Leah Colby's husband, Ted Colby, he was a very good friend of mine, a guy that I used to call the most tolerable Georgia Tech fan in Savannah. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we lost Ted 9 months ago today. Is that right, Leah?
That's right, 9 months ago today. You know, he was getting ready to go to a Tech game.
Well, I thought it might be a nice tribute to let people know how much Georgia Tech football meant to your husband and your family. And could you talk a little bit about, you know, how much Georgia Tech football meant to Ted and why that why it was such a big part of his life?
Absolutely. And he was a 91 grad of Tech, and he absolutely loved college football, but, you know, most especially his beloved Yellow Jackets. He lived and breathed football. I mean, he lived on the Hive. That was, you know, one of his favorite things to do. I'm sure he wasted quite a bit of work time on the Hive. We should have been a little more productive, but he was TC for GT, and he just loved everything Georgia Tech, whether it was baseball or whether it was going to, you know, early on baseball in the borough. You know, his whole man room decor was dedicated to Georgia Tech, and it meant so much to him. In fact, we actually planned our October wedding almost 15 years ago around six different college football.
That is so funny. So many of us went through that. Well, you know, I personally had probably some of the best conversations about college football. You know, once Facebook got started, Ted and I kind of took over some space in people's lives, arguing about college football and sometimes agreeing about college football. And I know it was such a big part of his life. And, you know, so many of my friends were friends with Ted. You know, I'm sure every season is going to be, it's going to be a time for y'all to remember. Are you going to do anything special this year to kind of remember Ted and his love for Georgia Tech football?
Well, probably the most special thing that's going to take place this year is in November for the November 11th game. About 70 of his fraternity brothers and college friends are gathering on campus and are going to do a huge tailgate that the children and I will be part of in Ted's honor. You know, tailgating was, you know, such an important thing to him. And, you know, like I said, you know, they were actually going to do a tailgate that morning before the game in, you know, last November that he had completely planned out for everyone. So that's going to be the big thing, because wow, that will be the honorary of his passing.
Wow.
But they've also decided that they're going to do an annual Ted Colby Memorial tailgate every year. So that's going to be something very special for me and for the children as they grow up. But no, I'm going to kind of be low key.
Yeah.
It would have been a total frenzy at our house this weekend, getting ready, you know, for next weekend.
Sure.
But
that's such a cool idea about that memorial tailgate. I think that's a wonderful way to pay tribute to that guy. Now, I know Ted right now would be pretty hot because of what happened yesterday with Dedrick Mills getting kicked off of Georgia Tech's football team. What do you think Georgia Tech has in store for the Yellow Jacket faithful this year? I know last year was kind of a surprise good year. I think they kind of came out of nowhere a little bit. What do you think Georgia Tech's got for us this year?
Well, you know, I just have to say, I'm sorry, Stephen, but that last touchdown pass during the Georgia game last year, I think Ted had something to do with deflecting that into the Tech player's arms. And But with the Dedrick Mills thing, gosh, I can't utter the words that he would probably be using right now about that. He'd be disappointed, but he would think it was the right move. So that kind of changes what I think the season's going to look like, but I've still got a lot of hope for the Jackets and that they're going to pull out a great season.
Yeah, you know, last year I walked out of Sanford Stadium after that game, and I thought to myself, you know, if we're going to lose one, that's an okay one to lose.
Yeah, I think I had several dog fans tell me the same thing. You know, I walked out of Sanford Stadium shaking my head after the Auburn game last year. Uh-huh. That's actually the last thing Ted and I did together was we went to the Auburn-Georgia game.
Yeah, we played good that day.
That last weekend before he passed.
Yeah.
Well, Leah, I mean, I'm pretty impressed. We got a Georgia graduate, 1990, the Tech fans had a national championship. And so, you know, going into the season, you know, it's always a big game against Georgia. What's the most important game on your schedule that Georgia Tech's going to play?
Oh, gosh.
You got a tough one to start with Tennessee in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. But, of course, you got, you know, all those ACC teams, and then you got the Dogs at the end of the season.
Ted just always – he always loved the Clemson game. He thought Clemson fans were, you know, just great fans. But, man, it was that Georgia game that he looked forward to every year.
Yep.
Dragging his nasty Ugga around on a chain.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, you know, a lot of times when we say people are quote-unquote great fans, I think we all know what that's a euphemism for. That means that we don't like them that much. So you're planning to go up to the game, I guess, November 11th, and that'll be very special. What kind of record do you think Georgia Tech can expect this year now that Dedrick Mills has gotten removed from the football team?
Well, as an Auburn fan, I have learned not to speculate and not to big talk.
Uh-huh.
So so I'm just going to lay low on that one and just, you know, hope for the best for Tech.
Yeah, Carl, I think Tech actually, even with the loss of Mills, could end up being a pretty darn good football team. I think they've got more capable players than people think, and that they were young last year, and I think this year they could still be looking at 7, 8, 9 wins.
Someone's going to step up. Mills stepped up last year. Nobody knew about the kid. We knew about him because he came from Ware County, but he stepped up and showed people that, you know, people on the bench can't step up and be a great player. So there's going to be some other running back that's going to step up and be just as good as him. We're going to forget about Mills. Hopefully he gets his act together, but, you know, I think there's going to be somebody that's going to step up. And, you know, every year, first game, you're going to find a star. And we found a star in Mills last year. He couldn't keep himself straight, so we'll go from there.
I think that first game against Tennessee is a lot to ask, but if Tech was to somehow win in the Mercedes-Benz Dome against Tennessee, I think that would answer a lot of questions and make people feel a lot better. I still think Tech looks at a ceiling of about 8-4. You know, if things really, if the ball really bounces the right way, 9-3, but that could be enough to get them into the ACC championship game. You know, I mean, if they get if one of those wins is against the right teams.
We got about 30 seconds here, Steve. Let's wrap it up with Leah. And Leah, yeah. For me, thank you for coming on. This is what the show's all about, getting the local fans. And I know this is something special to you, and I appreciate you taking the time. And once again, for me, go Rec, because we do have a local boy playing there, Brad Stewart.
Yeah, Leah, I really want to thank you for doing this. I know it must have been emotional to talk about, but I wanted to share the story as much as we could. And I appreciate you being on the radio with us.
Well, thanks. One last thing is, Every Saturday morning, Ted sent out a text, a math text to all of his friends, and said, yellow. And then for hours, his phone would ding back with jacket.
Oh.
And that was such a special thing. So I plan to send that to his friends, you know, Saturday morning.
Well, that's great. Well, for all y'all that, you know, that are remembering Ted right now, I hope the Yellow Jackets have a great season. And I hope that event on November 11th is really wonderful for y'all. And we'll talk to you soon.
Steven. All right, thanks.
And that's Leah Colby, big Georgia Tech fan. Husband was even bigger. Well, now, she's an Auburn fan.
She's
right?
an Auburn fan, actually.
But her husband, Ted, was a big Tech fan. And,
the biggest.
That's the way to honor him. And, you know, I have special connections because one of my football players went there, Tony Clark, and loved Georgia Tech. And watching Brad Stewart play there from Benedictine, we're a fan. And there are reasons why we're fans. And there's something about our teams. Well, Ted went to school there. So, once again, for Leah to come on. Give her a lot of credit.
No, absolutely. That had to be a little tough for her, and I appreciate Leah doing that. And I always appreciated Ted's perspective on Georgia Tech football. He certainly loved it, but he was objective about it. He was in line with guys like Eddie Wilson and other people around Savannah who are great fans. Of course, my grandfather actually went to Tech for a very little while. So I have a lot of respect for Georgia Tech and certainly a lot of respect for Ted Colby, and we miss him.
So, well, once again, we got to go to our next guest. We got to go to a break here, but coming up next, the Georgia Southern Eagles. Okay, will it be one more time? Will they get back on track? Well, we're going to ask one of the biggest fans that I know, former Groves Rebels, now Calvary Day School Marketing PR Director, good friend of mine, Gordon Hunter. On next, talking Eagle football right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah.
Now back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
And I got to thank you for listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it may be. And this is what the show is all about, local sports. And it's the College Football Fan Preview Show, the fourth annual, with a good friend of mine. And I've coined him this, and he does a great job. He's got an article coming out tomorrow. He follows the golf scene here in Savannah, Georgia. And that's the columnist, Stephen Elmo Weeks. And it's been a lot of fun. We just got done with the Georgia Tech Ramblin' Wreck with Leah Colby. Now we're going to go to another Georgia team. And it's, of course, the Georgia Southern Eagles up the road in Statesboro in the prettiest little stadium in the United States. Is coined by one of my favorite coaches, Irk Russell, who used to be a Georgia Bulldog coach himself. But this next guy, I'm telling you, I watched him grow up. His dad and I, great friends, my defensive coordinator. We had a good time, and Gordon punted for me and played wide receiver, defensive back, and he'll give you everything he got. Pound for pound, this kid loved football. But he turned his hat on, went over to Georgia Southern, got into their athletic department, their marketing department. He's home now in Savannah, Georgia, with his wife over at Calvary Day School. Joining us on the ESPN Radio Savannah Smiles Hotline, former Eagle himself, and this guy bleeds blue and white, and that's a good friend of mine, Gordon Hunter. Gordon, always a pleasure, and thanks for coming on and doing this.
Coach, always a pleasure to be on the show with you, sir. I'm a big fan of all that you've done. Obviously, getting the chance to play for you, it's an honor to be here with you this morning.
Well, you're doing a great job over at Calvary Day School now, the family over there. Your wife, Hannah, I know you're a humble guy. Two state champions under her belt. She's on the road in Atlanta. If Grandma and Grandpa are listening, Greg and Lisa Hunter, you guys do a great job. Love you both. But it's got to be exciting. And Georgia Southern football took a little bump last year, and I'm throwing the ball over to Mr. Elmo Weeks. He's going to throw the first question at you. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, Gordon, you know, proud program up there in Statesboro, and I doubt the blue and white faithful were very pleased with the outcome of last season. So as you get into this next, this next season kicking off, what do you think we can expect to see from the Eagles on the field?
Well, Elmo, I will very humbly admit that I was actually pretty ecstatic that I was not working for the athletic department last year.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
It was a tough season in Statesboro, and I think that most Eagle fans have been spoiled in the pure sense that Eagles win, and they do it often. So going 5-7 was not something that I think Eagle Nation was expecting, with 22 seniors returning from last year's squad. They really were hoping for another run at a conference title.
What about this year? I mean, I think that is this a year that the program bounces back to its lofty standards, or are we in a little bit of a rebuilding mode for Georgia Southern?
There's a lot of questions out there right now. You know, we only returning five starters on offense. Lost basically our entire defensive secondary last year, with the exception of Joshua Moon, who's a preseason all-conference player. So there's still a lot of questions. We do have a very experienced backfield returning in L.A. Ransby and Wesley Fields, expecting a lot of those guys, and an experienced offensive line. So if Coach Brian Cook, the new offensive coordinator, is really going to turn the ship around, which is what Eagle Nation is expecting, bringing the flex bone back in, there's a lot of excitement, obviously, with that. You know, Georgia Southern fans are true to their option football, and while Coach Summers did a great job with the PR early in the year when he was hired about running the triple option, we didn't see very much of it true under center, A-back, B-back, running the inside and the outside. So I'm hoping that's what we go back to this year. I think most Eagle fans will admit that's what they want to see. And the hope is that we can run the gauntlet of a schedule that is that 2017 football schedule.
And you're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3. You're listening to the College Football Fan Preview Show, the fourth annual College Football Fan Preview Show. We're talking to ex-Groves, or alumni of Groves High School, now the marketing director at Calvary Day School, Gordon Hunter. He's breaking down the Georgia Southern Eagles because he bleeds true blue and white, true blue himself. All right, Gordon, you know, you lived and died with this program for 4 years or 5 years, however long you were there. You worked there after you finished there. What is the biggest difference, or what's going to be the biggest difference between last season and this season for the Eagles?
Well, Carl, I spent 10 years in Statesboro. I was a student for 4 and an employee for 6.
You were there for 6 years as an employee?
That's correct. I spent 2 years at the Athletic Foundation working for John Mulheron. Sam Baker hired me as the director of marketing when my predecessor left to go to a bigger school. And then I spent 2 years working for the College of Business.
Wow.
2 years in total as an employee up there in Statesboro. And the biggest difference to me is going to be what I touched on a little bit, is that the flex bone returning back to Statesboro. You know, that's the Eagle fans like to see the ball on the running on the ground. As old Kurt Russell used to say, there's three things that happen when you throw a football, and two of them are bad.
And you know, you touched on running the schedule. So, what's the most important game on the Eagles' schedule this year?
Oh, those first four games, Carl, are all extremely important.
Yeah, I would say so.
There's a possibility that the Eagles could start 0-4. To me, the most winnable game is that trip to New Hampshire, that third game of the year. I'm sorry, the trip as a home game. So that's the game that's got to be a win, because they're no slouch. That's a proud FBS program, FCS program, excuse me. So those guys, the Wildcats from New Hampshire, are going to be coming to Statesboro with the mindset that they need to win a ball game. I can't say that the Eagle fans will admit that they don't expect to win at all. But that's going to be a tough game. Obviously, that night game to open the season, and then that trip to Indiana in the third week, also another big test. But as Eagle fans would say, that's a winnable schedule, and they'll expect to win in both of those outings. So, going into Arkansas, the realistic expectation, I believe, is we're 1-2 and playing a Wednesday night game on ESPN2. That needs to be a big showing. So that's probably the big game on the schedule that I would call.
So when you look at that schedule, obviously, you're right. It is a very, very difficult uphill climb at the beginning. How would you assess best and worst case scenarios for the Eagles this year? You know, in other words, best case scenario might be you win all 4. Worst case scenario, you really get banged up. What is a realistic sense of what this team can expect to do? In other words, even if they lose, is being competitive in some of those games good enough to sort of propel them into the rest of the season?
Yeah, best case scenario is we're 12-0 at the end of the season.
Sure.
I think those four games would obviously be a big start. I say realistically, 1-2 is a realistic expectation to open the season for those three games. My hope is that, you know, we go up to Auburn, put together a good showing. Our offense is actually able to move the ball. Defense keeps the game respectable. And we get the chance to show a national audience that Georgia Southern is the real deal this year. That's, in my opinion, best case scenario.
How would you assess the confidence level of this program right now? Are they still a confident program? Is this a team that needs to come out and play well to feel good about itself? I mean, you know, that season had to be a surprise internally as much as externally.
Yeah, but confidence is not something that I think Georgia Southern has a problem with. When we recruit players, we've always had the mentality that, look, when you're coming here, you're coming to win ball games. Rings and diplomas is kind of the mantra. Mm-hmm. So they expect every player to get a chance to earn a degree while winning championships. So the expectation will not be that of, you know, we're coming off a bad year and, you know, we have some time to grow and get better. The expectation is that they're going to win ball games. That's the same through our fan base. Our coaches echo that. So the expectations are high, and I think they always will be at Georgia Southern.
Well, Gordon, you are a true blue Georgia Southern man, alumni. I mean, when anybody can rattle off the team's first four games off the top of your head, you know you love your team. Always a pleasure. Say hi to Hannah. Say hi to Mom and Dad. Tell Nels go Eagles, and, of course, go Cavaliers. Appreciate it, buddy. Have a good day.
Carl, thanks for having me, and a little plug for your son. Always looking forward to seeing Dominic on the mound as a Cavalier alum, and likewise, all the best to Russell as he starts his season at Savannah State. Thanks, Carl.
I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Thanks, Gordon.
And that's Gordon Hunter. He is now the director of development at Calvary Day School. I'm telling you, you want to meet a kid that loves his football. I mean, he was undersized. He did a great job for me at Groves, and he went on to Georgia Southern. I didn't think it was 10 years he was there. I thought it was only six, man. Wow, and he got through every single department, student, Alumni Foundation, business office. I mean, just a great kid, great family.
I'll tell you what, I think he's absolutely right about Georgia Southern fans wanting to see the Flexbone come back. And honestly, at this point in college football, I think the running the football has become what the air raid offense used to be. I think it's hard to prepare yes. for a team that runs the football because everybody throws 75 times a game.
Right.
So now you've got the element of surprise because you do run the football. I think, you know, Georgia Southern, Georgia Tech, the first couple teams we've talked about here, do something that other people don't do. They run the football.
Right, and being a coach, it's very hard to prepare for a team that doesn't do what everybody else is doing. So
that's right.
Next up, we're going to go a little Irish. Yes, that's my favorite team. I grew up every Saturday morning, sit in front of the TV set watching Notre Dame football, and I got a little condolences to Parsegian family. I remember Ara Parsegian very well. But we're going to go talk to a man that's Savannah history right here.
One of my favorite people.
He's Mr. Savannah himself, but he loves football. He loves Georgia Bulldog football, goes to Notre Dame every year. And that's, of course, Charlie Russo. You're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah.
Now more with the coach, Carl DeMasi, on ESPN 104.3 WSEG.
That's right. It's all here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG Sports Talk Savannah. And once again, you're listening to the fourth annual College Football Fan Preview with my cohort, my man in crime. We got another guy that has a lot of guys in crime. But anyway, it's Stephen Elmo Weeks, and we're talking about local teams. But we had to talk to this guy because this guy gets on a flight every year and travels to South Bend, Indiana. And I haven't been there. It's, you know, one of the places I got to get to because I am a diehard Notre Dame fan because being Roman Catholic in New York, we don't have big-time college football, so we had to sit in front of that TV and watch the Irish every year. But this man takes a trek every year with his friends, but you know him as the man that sells seafood, and he does a great job. He's well-known here in Savannah, Georgia. He's joining us on the Savannah Smiles mobile hotline. Mr. Charlie Russo. Charlie, always a pleasure, and thanks for coming on this morning. And I know you're sitting back getting ready to fillet some fish or do something with some fish, right?
Well, I'm filleting some fish while I'm talking to you, Coach.
I remember I went there to buy shrimp one day, Stephen. I went to shake his hand. He's got that rubber glove on, but I wasn't going to pull my hand away. I shook his hand. I smelled like Charlie Russo all day. So, but anyway, you know, you make this trek out to Notre Dame every year with a bunch of friends, and it so happens to be that they're playing your team, the Georgia Bulldogs. So tell us about those experiences going out there to South Bend, watching the Irish, but this time watching the Bulldogs.
Well, the Bulldogs, that's going to be great. And I happened to befriend Coach Jerry Faust, who's getting me the four tickets, and when there's hardly no tickets to be available. But I'm going to sit in Coach's seats on the 50-yard line on Notre Dame's side. So even though I'll have my red and black on, I just got to, you know, just behave myself rather than act like an idiot.
Well, hey, what fun is that if you can't act like an idiot as a Georgia fan? We don't know what to do, do we?
Well, that's right. Well, I quit drinking, so that'll help some of that, yeah.
Well, you know, I could feel for you because way back when, my sons grew up Notre Dame fans because of me, and we went to the Notre Dame-North Carolina bowl game down there in Jacksonville, and we sat in the heart of North Carolina State fans. I wanted to hide under my seat what they were saying about Notre Dame, and I got two little kids, you know, 8 and 9 years old or 8 and 7 years old, and it was crazy, so... Yeah, I didn't get rowdy, but I know Charlie Russo not going to be quiet.
No, he won't. And my first experience, and Notre Dame was a great place in South Bend that you can go. I mean, all the Heisman Trophy winners they've had, I mean, you can just spend 2 days just going through and seeing everything at Notre Dame. And over the years, you know, we've just had great times doing this. My first experience up there is with Coach McBride, who used to play at Notre Dame in the 40s, and Coach was on the team that won several national championships in a row. In other words, they won two or three. And he was up there, got a big, beautiful house up there. And I went up there with my buddy Joe Welch, and we stayed at his home. And that was my first experience. That it was absolutely wonderful.
How many years have you done this, Mr. Russo?
It's been about 20 years. And even though Carl said every year, we go every other year. We had Coach Yelovich, who was the athletic director for the women at Notre Dame. He came down, talked to the Benedictine banquet, and Jimmy Ray, you know, sort of took him around town. And Coach, you know, naturally, when he was leaving, he said, "Hey, if there's anything I can do for y'all," well, it was anything to do for us. So, and eight of us go up every other year. Now, this year, the tickets are hard to come by, so we could just manage four, but we've been going every other year with eight people, and, you know, over the years, it'll change, but we just have some great times up there.
What's the best game you've seen up in South Bend?
Well, we caught them playing Oklahoma, which was great. We've seen the Michigan games, Michigan State games. Over the years, you know, just some super game. We went up there with we saw the Georgia Tech, which we had our buddy Ansley Williams, who's a big Tech fan, go up there. And Ansley left, I think, about halftime to get back to the limo to start drinking again. So,
oh, man.
It's got to be a lot of fun. You're listening to Carl DeMasi Sports Report, where it's college football fan preview, and we're talking to a big Georgia Bulldog fan, but he's a good Catholic boy that makes a trek to South Bend, Indiana, to Notre Dame every other year. So, you know, do you follow Notre Dame besides Georgia, or is it just
Yes. No. Naturally, Georgia's number one, but I do follow Notre Dame, and I don't bleed with them, but still, it's great time. And I've met some great people up there. And I'll tell you, like Coach Jerry Faust, Coach, he lost up there after his 4 years, and they eased him out. But Dick Vitale, I've met him up there and just had some, you know, great things with him. And like I say, Coach McBride, who was up there, and he came back to Benedictine, you know, so it's just been some great memories of the whole Notre Dame scene.
So, Mr. Russo, this question has some personal value to me. Is Notre Dame going to be any good this year?
They've suffered the past couple of years. Now, I hope they're, you know, naturally, I don't believe they can beat Georgia, because Georgia's stacked, and they loaded this year, and I think Coach Smart in my opinion, you know, the coaches lost a couple of games last year that we never should have lost. So they got the horses back. You know, those two big running backs didn't leave. So that's all the difference in the world. The quarterback's got another year, so they should be rolling this year. The only time that Notre Dame has never beaten Georgia, and the only time we beat them, we won a national championship. So maybe that's one of the four-leaf clovers that we're looking forward to.
Now, what kind of representation do you think we're going to Georgia is going to have up there in South Bend? I mean, I'm hearing that it's going to be more red and black than blue and gold.
I'm hoping so. Yeah, and I'm expecting Georgia to beat them by a couple of touchdowns. And if they don't, you know, I'll be surprised. But you know. Never can tell.
Well, you know, you're going to get on that track and you're going to go watch them. Besides having Georgia on your schedule, what other game do you think is going to be the toughest for the Fighting Irish?
I don't know. I didn't even look at the schedule because I'm more just into that Georgia game because we're going to go to the Cubs game, which was great, and we're going to catch Notre Dame the next day, and then we were going to make it a big threesome and go to the Bears game, but when I started checking tickets, oh, Lord, they like $500. So I said, this old fish boy, he'll skip that one. But, Southern Cal's always their big game. And Coach even told me these tickets at Georgia are the hardest ticket he's ever had, and it's usually Southern Cal, but this year Notre Dame, and I've got some friends from Georgia who are going up there without tickets. I mean, just to do the partying and the whole nine yards. So it's going to be a great weekend.
October 21st is University of Southern Cal coming into South Bend.
Yeah, I mean, Notre Dame obviously every year plays a heck of a schedule. They play a lot of good teams now with that affiliation with the Atlantic Coastal Conference, the ACC. I think Notre Dame plays one of the best schedules every year in the country, and I'm sure the Irish are looking for a little better year than they had last year. I think there's reason to believe they could be good. They lost a lot of close games last year. Hopefully, they'll have a good season with one big red and black loss on it. What do you think about that, Mr. Russo?
I think that's going to be great. And getting back to Carl, it's just too bad we got the Fighting Irish. And Carl, wouldn't it have been great if, you know, they'd have got an Italian college and we'd have been called a Fighting Italian? Oh, how good would that have been, huh?
Yeah, you got to go to the Fighting Italians.
Fighting Italians.
Well, Charlie, it's been great. I got a hard break here. I got to get out of here. It's always a pleasure talking to you. Enjoy that game. And I know I'm going to be rooting for Notre Dame, but I also got ties with, UGA. My daughter's a graduate there from there now. And it's for some reason, like I told Steven, I was a Georgia fan. I love Georgia sports, and I lived in New York, so something was wrong there. But I found my way down here, so I can't complain. I call myself a Southern Yankee now.
You still talk fast like a Yankee, though. Yes, right.
That's the Italian at us. You know that.
Right, yeah. Are you moving your hands while you're talking, huh?
Steven, I move my hands.
Man, he doesn't sit still for one second, Mr. Russo.
All right, love y'all, and thank y'all for having me on. Appreciate it.
Charlie, always a pleasure. Go Dogs.
All right, bye.
I mean, you want to talk about a man that loves football. I mean, loves life. First thing he talked about was BC last night. So, you know, the man loves his football. He loves his Bulldogs. He's a nice Italian guy. I mean, what more can I say?
I tell you what, man, and just a personal plug, going to his daughter Cecilia's wedding was probably one of the most fun nights that I've had in the last 10 years. So
stay tuned. Game number two is coming up, 10:03. We got more to talk about, Savannah State and, of course, Georgia. Call the Demasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah.
Now more with the coach, Carl Demasi, on ESPN 104.3 WSEG.
And welcome to hour number two, as I like to say, game number two of the Carl Demasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400 FM 104.3 WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah. And it's the fourth annual College Football Fan Preview Show with the man himself, the columnist from the Savannah Morning News, Mr. Stephen Elmo Week. Stephen, great show. First hour went by. Got to thank Charlie Russo. Got to thank Leah Colby. Got to thank Gordon Hunter. But the second hour is going to be a lot of fun. Kicking it off in a couple of seconds, we'll have the first lady of Savannah State football, Liz Rayburn. Of course, the head coach's wife, but she's the head ball coach in her house. Then we'll go to somebody that you know dear and well. No. We're going to take a trip to Mississippi State first. We're going to talk to Nick Fitzgerald's dad, Derek Fitzgerald, about Mississippi State. And then we're going to bring in no other than our Georgia analyst, brand new on the radio station, Jack Weeks.
Yeah, man, every time I do this with you, every year, I cannot believe how fast it goes.
It goes so quick.
It seems like we just walked in the studio and we're through the first hour.
Well, we know this lady's waiting to get on here. And I'm telling you, fans, I've been doing this for a long time. I'm the old ball coach. I've watched fans. My wife has been a first lady of football. But this lady loves football. I mean, she eats, sleeps, and thinks football 24-7. Probably even when she's at her school as the middle school principal, there's got to be something football involved. But she came here with her husband from Wabash College, the Little Giants. She loves the game. You got to see her in the stand. She's joining us now on the ESPN Savannah Smiles mobile hotline, the first lady of Savannah State football, Liz Rayburn. Liz, always a pleasure. I'm excited about it, and I know you are.
Oh, I'm excited. Thank you guys for having me. I tried to listen to the first half when I was driving the girls to gymnastics, so I'm excited.
Mom's taxi.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
But anyway, I know you love football. You've loved football. You've been following it. You were a cheerleader in college. You know, you and Eric have been doing a great job over there at Savannah State. And people, you know, you're new to Savannah. People kind of, you know, haven't really been big supporters of Savannah State Tiger football, and they're waiting for that big year. But I know you're in the trenches. You're behind the scenes. What can we expect to see this season from the Savannah State Tigers?
Hey, well, we are super excited. We have 26 new faces, 26 recruits. I think we had a really strong recruiting class. So I know Eric and his staff, recruiting is something that they are elite at, I think, and they've done a great job. So I'm really excited about that class and really excited about having, you know, the second year in the system. I think I have not been to practice like I typically have gone just because, you know, kids in life, I like to get out there a little bit more, but I was out practice last Sunday, and I can see just a huge difference just in the comfort level of the guys and the culture at practice. It's high energy, it's fast paced, the guys look like they love what they're doing, so I think that's going to help us a lot, and I think it's going to, you know, help us win a lot more games. So I like that.
Well, Mr. Rayburn, it sounds like, you know, there's a lot of good energy around Savannah State football right now. You know, maybe some energy that's been lacking in past years. When you're around the guys, the team, what do you think is the biggest difference from last year to this year, and how do you think that can impact the outcome of some of the games they're playing?
Well, you know, I think the coaching staff has done a great job at, it's just like being a teacher. You know, you got to love what you do, and that has to, those kids have to see that at practice every day. And I think that these kids finally feel like they have a coaching staff who believes in them and who loves what they're doing and is trying to grow them as student athletes. And on the academic side as well, I think, you know, in the off season, Savannah State made tons of progress on APR. That was a huge issue for us. So I think that just building those relationships with the kids has been a huge, huge, huge game. And I think that's going to pay us dividends this year in the second season. So guys are excited about practice. Eric has said multiple times just in our conversations that they have come back stronger, so they're doing their workouts in the off season. We had tons of kids access summer school this summer, so then they were able to do those extra practices that the NCAA allows. So it's really exciting because I think the more reps that they're getting, they're working out, they're committed, and they see that the coaching staff is committed. So I think that's going to help us out a lot.
Well, they've got half as much energy as you do. We're about to see a breakout season for the Tigers.
And you're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah AM 1400 FM 104.3. You're listening to the fourth annual College Football Fan Preview Show, and we got the First Lady of Savannah State joining us, Liz Rayburn. And I know you wanted to go to the next question, right, Steve?
Yeah. So, is there any game that you and your husband have sat down and circled for Savannah State? Is there one game that you look at and say, okay, man, this is one we've got to have, or that's a kind of a turning point game or a big opportunity game?
No. One game at a time.
Every game's the most important game, right?
One game at a time. So obviously those first two games for us are, you know, FBS games. But, you know, obviously they're thinking about App State We're excited to get up there. I've heard it's a beautiful stadium, so that's going to be great. But as far as MEAC plays goes, you know, we open our first MEAC game with Florida A&M, 3MU, on September 23rd, and we had them last year. That we played them at 3MU last year, and we were close. So I think having that as our home opener, conference opener, high energy, I think that that's, you know, obviously from a conference standpoint, we're excited about that game.
Oh, and you have high energy, Liz.
Yeah, I think it sounds like you're quietly pretty excited about Savannah State football this year. I think, you know, what do you think is the sort of best case scenario for this team this year? It sounds like you've got high hopes.
Yeah, well, you know, I always do. That's part of being the football life, I think. I love these kids, and, you know, I'm a teacher, so I feel like any time that you can build relationships with kids, whether they're student-athletes or middle school kids, that's part of the work that we do as teachers and coaches. So I am excited for them. I feel like if they can come out and love what they're doing, that's gonna translate for us into wins. So I think it's gonna be really great. We have our offensive line. I'm really excited about her because
last year was tough. I know your offensive line coach was pulling his hair out of his head, but I mean, I saw a big improvement from the first game to the last game.
It's going to be awesome, and we signed six offensive linemen, I think all six are going to show up in the 2D. So
nice.
I think you're going to see a lot of young, new faces for Savannah State football, and you're going to see we're going to be young, but we're going to be better, we're going to be faster, and we're going to have more passionate energy out there on the field. So I think it's going to be exciting.
Well, I know, Liz, if they have the passion like you and your husband and the coaching staff does, it's going to carry on to the football field. And, you know, I get to witness you at these football games, and I want you to tell people, and, you know, you're a teacher, you can paint the picture, what it's like for game day for Liz Rayburn and the Rayburn family, especially in the stands.
So, you know, because you lived that with me last year, I'm kind of a mess. So, typically, I don't sit in the stands. I learned that.
Oh, no, you don't sit in the stands. You go hide behind the stands. I think my wife, Deirdre DeMasi, does that when my son plays or when my sons were playing football. So, I know the feeling.
Yeah, I really can't handle that. So I tried, last season, I thought, I'm going to try this. I'm going to get back in those stands for a minute. I make it about 2 minutes into the first quarter, and then I got to go because I'm pacing and stressed. And, you know, it's just that feeling. I'll tell you what, though, my son is playing high school football now. We have a freshman, and he had his first high school game last night. And of all the feelings I've had in 18 years as being a head coach's wife, a football wife, nothing is like it when you're real kids out there playing. So.
I know. I love that tweet when you put out there, I finally became a football mom. It took me 18 years. But, I mean, high energy over there at Savannah State, and, you know, I have a big connection there. You know, but I'll be honest with you. Before the connection, of course, my son Russell DeMasi was there, and I'm thankful for Eric to keep him on the staff. I've always supported Savannah State, and what gets me is, yes, you can root for Georgia, you can root for Notre Dame, but you live in the city of Savannah. It's our only D1 AA program, or was it FBS now? And we got to support these kids. And, you know, it's such a local product that we got to support them. And your husband has come in, changed the culture, changed the atmosphere. You won 3 games last year. Quickly, we got about 30 seconds. Prediction, how many you win this year?
Oh, I don't even know, but I want to win them all. So I would love to win them all. But I'm hoping that we win more than 3. And more importantly, we want everybody in Savannah to come on out to Savannah State, to the Marsh, because we think you're going to have a great time on Saturday. It would be fun to bring your family and your kids and see some great football.
All right, quickly, plug what's going on today. I'll be seeing you there.
That's right, 1 o'clock, scrimmage today at the Marsh.
Put on your orange and blue. Liz, always a pleasure, and, you know, you have a passion for whether it's football, for teaching. You are the principal now at Bryan County Middle School, and you know the philosophy. It's an old cliche, to coach is to teach as to teach is to coach. Keep it up, and thanks for coming on, and we enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I appreciate it, you guys. Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
And here you go, Liz. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers!
Liz Rayburn, Eric Rayburn's wife, the first lady of college, Savannah State football.
Carl, you said it. Savannah State is a community school. And I tell you this, I honestly think if they could ever get it rolling a little bit, it's a little bit of a sleeping giant in terms of people getting behind the program. I think if Coach Rayburn and Liz can get it going, you know, get some success, get some momentum built, I think people would start supporting that football program and getting really excited about it. You know, we see that stadium packed for BC games. It'd be nice to see it packed for Tiger games.
I'm telling you right now, last year, my son's been there for 3 years now. Last year was the most people I ever saw up for a Savannah State football game. So I'm ready for it. I'm like Liz. I'm going to have my orange and blue on, and we'll go Tigers. Liz, thanks for coming on. Next up, local boy doing great things on the national scene, on a national watch for the Heisman Trophy and for the best quarterback in the United States. And that, of course, Nick Fitzgerald out of Richmond Hill High School. We're going to be talking to his dad, Derek Fitzgerald, on his way to Mississippi's Fan Day. And it's all right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG. Savannah, Georgia. And if you can't listen to us in your car, get on your computer, ESPNCoastal.com, or on your smartphone, ESPN mobile app, Savannah Hilton Head, TuneIn Radio, WSEG. Sports Talk Savannah.
Now, back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
And welcome back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah. That's right, I'm Carl DeMasi. I'm glad you could join me. You're listening to the fourth annual College Football Fan Preview Show, and I'm joined by my co-host, my cohort in crime in this show for the last 4 years, the columnist, Stephen Elmo Weeks. And we're usually at this point, we do the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week, and for some reason, I'm looking for my papers here. They're right here. Don't worry about it. I got it right here. And for this week, the football player I had a long trip last night, so I'm going to push it back to next week. But if you have someone special that you would like to get on my show, they've done something special, athletically, whether they be, youth golf, youth gymnastics, middle school football, baseball, cross-country track, then high school pro sports, hey, give me a call. Here's my phone number, 24-7, 912-507-9158. Nominate them for the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week, okay? And we'll get them on. I'll get them on. I want you guys to nominate these kids. I don't want to go scrounging for kids and picking kids out, and then I got to hear, well, coach, you only pick certain kids from certain schools. No, I'll take kids from any school, any level of sports. And Dr. Bart Weatherington, he's been supporting this award since I started the show way back in 2010. That's right. I can't tell you how many Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athletes Week I've gotten on my show. But, you know, the man does a great job. And if you have some kind of sort of back problem, back pain, remember, your back hurts. Another body part hurts all the time. It makes you mad. The pain drives you crazy. You just want to pick up something, throw it across the room, if you can, Stephen. Well, at the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic, you get complete chiropractic care, pain relief to help you move better, have a less painful life, and of course, achieve a healthier life. The Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic is now located in two locations, Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays, right here in Savannah, Georgia at 329 Eisenhower Drive, and in Tuesdays and Thursdays in Pooler, Georgia at 114 Canal Street, 603. So visit Dr. Bart Weatherington at the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic for all your chiropractic needs. Okay, and we were supposed to have Derek Fitzgerald, who, from what I found out, is an assistant coach at Savannah Christian with the new ball coach, William Bell. We're going to talk about Nick Fitzgerald, who's playing at Mississippi State, but sort of he's in the backwoods. He's traveling to Starkville, right?
Yep.
And I get you bad reception. You know, cell phones don't work everywhere. So what I said to Steve, this is the Weatherington Chiropractic Clinic Athlete of the Week portion. I mean, I've had these kids on my show, whether they're playing pro football, college football, pro football right now. We got Jalen Myrick trying to make it with the Jacksonville Jaguars. We got D'Angelo Brown with the Tennessee Titans. We got Anthony Lanier, Tennessee Titans. And then we got Anthony Lanier with the Washington Redskins. On a college level, I mean, you can name it. Brad Stewart, Georgia Tech. Nick Fitzgerald, Mississippi State. Chris Harris, Wesley Kennedy at Georgia Southern. Derek Kirkland, Calvary grad over at Savannah State. We got so many kids playing college football. It's unbelievable. You grew up here. Has there ever been a time where you've seen so many kids playing college football?
No, I think actually right now is a kind of Savannah's become a hotbed in recruiting a little bit. I think we've always had talent down in this area. I just don't know that it was always recognized. I think, you know, sometimes some of the talent got overlooked. And you know this from coaching here. It was hard to get coaches to come down here and take a look at them. Sometimes you didn't, you know, other than like Georgia Southern, Savannah State, and you know, some of those kind of programs. But I'll tell you, the guy who sticks out most to me right now on the college football scene is certainly Nick Fitzgerald. I watched Mississippi State several times last year, and of course Mississippi State's coming into Sanford Stadium to play Georgia this year. And I think Nick Fitzgerald is on the cusp of breaking out as one of college football's most exciting players. He led Mississippi State in offense last year. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC last year. Complete surprise, everybody. He only threw about 80 passes in his last season at Richmond Hill High School. I think he probably threw that in the first two or three games last year for Mississippi State, and got them to a bowl game. They beat they beat up on Ole Miss. Mississippi State is in a period of getting hot at the right time as Ole Miss goes through recruiting scandals and all these other problems. I think Mississippi State's a surprise team this year, and I think Nick Fitzgerald is a big reason that they will be a surprise team. I hope that they, you know, hope they lose to my Bulldogs, but I see them. I could see them pulling a couple upsets. I could see Fitzgerald, you know, hanging big numbers on some of the SEC West teams. I think Mississippi State's a team to watch out for this year.
Well, you know, reading, you know, of course, like I always say, I surf the internet for everything, and I'll give credit to Frank Sulkowski, Rex Castillo, Dennis Knight, whoever that you know, Greg Talbot. I searched for information, so I was reading ESPN the other night, and I didn't put the connection together. But you know, Nick Fitzgerald's coach Dan Mullen is pretty respected quarterback
coach. Yeah.
Tim Tebow, he's done a great job. He's at Mississippi State now, and Nick Fitzgerald, when he played at Richmond Hill High School for Coach Lyman Guy, and you know, he was just, you could tell he was a man amongst boys. And he was playing quarterback, but he was a Tim Tebow type of guy. Like you said, he didn't throw many passes in high school because he ran like Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
But when he got to fit, you know, from to Mississippi State, you knew he was going to do something special. But he sat behind a guy for a couple of years that was pretty special.
Yeah, Dak Prescott. I mean, I'll tell you, there's a good story on ESPN.com right now about Dan Mullen working with Nick Fitzgerald. And there's a good story that from last year's Egg Bowl, Mississippi, you know, the rivalry between Mississippi and Mississippi State. And I guess after Mississippi State wins that game, one of the reporters in the room asked Dan Mullen, now who else did you have to beat out to get Nick Fitzgerald? And Dan Mullen was laughing. He chuckled a little bit, and he said, the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Because nobody was really looking at Fitzgerald.
That's right.
He played at Richmond Hill in a somewhat weaker conference at that time. He did pile up some numbers, rushing the football, scoring touchdowns, and they had a good season. But I don't think he was regarded highly on the national scene. But I'll tell you, if you're going to be with a quarterback's coach, Dan Mullen's the guy to be with in terms of Dak Prescott, Tim Tebow. Not only that, he's one with guys like Tyler Russell at Mississippi State, who nobody really can remember other than if you're not a Mississippi State fan. But he had some good seasons with guys who are not as well regarded. So I think with another year under his belt with Dan Mullen, there's a good chance that Mr. Fitzgerald's going to have a big year and surprise some people in the SEC.
I mean, I hope he does. And well, you're a common trip taker. Saturday morning is going to Athens. I know you're talking about the Notre Dame game with Charlie Russo. You really want to go? You're going to be up there for this one?
No, I don't think. I think the only game we're going to be going to is we're going to go to Georgia versus Kentucky in mid-November. My son, who will be on the air here in a minute to talk about Georgia football, has a very busy golf schedule in the fall, so I don't think we're going to be able. And then my daughter Maggie is also playing soccer, so I don't think we're going to be doing too many trips this year. But you know, like I said, I'll be watching every game, and I hope we're able to get past. I think Fitzgerald's going to come in very motivated against his quote unquote hometown team, who did not recruit him at all. I would not be surprised to see him come in there with a little extra fire in his belly.
I bet you there'll be a packed house. A lot of people from Richmond Hill making that track the night after Richmond Hill Wildcat football game, and you know, the life of a parent now. You know that, buddy.
Oh yeah. Well, of course, you know, another guy coming that we got to play this year is Mr. Stewart, Brad Stewart.
That's right.
DC. We didn't recruit him either. He wasn't a big fan of that. Nobody in Savannah was a very big fan of Georgia's decision not to recruit Brad Stewart, and he made his pay last year, and I think he'll continue to make his pay this year. Hopefully, we'll eke out a victory. But you know, Brad has had some good moments against Georgia. You know, I he's obviously a very, very good player, and I sure wish he was wearing red and black.
Well, I'll tell you, I went with my wife. My daughter was going to school, and they were playing Missouri the year that we went. I forget which year it was, and we went up there, and we're sitting in the coach's box, and I look over my shoulder, and there's Brad Stewart with his sister, Sarah Stewart. And I said, Brad, you got any shots coming? He says, Coach, I'd love to come to Georgia. I've gotten a couple of, a couple of interest, a couple of tweets or whatever from coaches, but not a really big hit on Georgia's radar. And, and the kid, you could tell so bad he wanted to go to Georgia. But you know what? He got Georgia Tech. Someone found the love and gave it to the kid, and look what the kid's doing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I guarantee you Jacob Eason would have liked somebody who could catch the ball last year. Another guy who catches the ball awfully well is Mylon Richard up at Clemson.
Yep.
Now, Mylon, obviously, Herschel Walker's nephew,
right.
and certainly a big recruit. He could be poised for a breakout year.
Everybody thought he was going to Georgia.
Yeah, we all kind of knew that was probably not going to happen. I don't think he ever wanted to live in his uncle's shadow.
Right.
That would be very difficult. But I think, Clemson, people are sleeping. I don't know how you're going to sleep on the national champion, but people are sleeping on Clemson a little bit. I don't see much of a drop-off coming for the Tigers up in the upstate of South Carolina. I think Mylon's going to be a big part of that.
Tell me, a boy from Savannah, Georgia, playing in two straight national championship games and get himself a ring. And last year, he played on the special teams. He played on the field goal team. This year, he slated as number one, like Nick Fitzgerald, the starter tight end for the Clemson Tigers.
Well, he kind of reminds you of a guy that Clemson played against in the national championship game for the last 2 years, and that's O.J. Howard
yep.
at Alabama. Mylon is built very much like him. He may even be a little faster than O.J.
Right.
O.J.'s a little bigger, I think, in terms of his frame. And O.J.'s going to be in the NFL this year, and you have to think that that's where Mylon's headed as well.
Well, like I said, we tried to get Bill Richards, but he's sitting in Clemson Stadium right now, and we had Nick Fitzgerald's father, said to come on, but he's back in the woods somewhere driving to Starkville, and the reception was not good, but always fun to see local guys play. Let's wrap this up. Your thoughts when you see these local kids get to the next level and make a name for themselves?
I always follow local kids closely when they leave Savannah. Myrick was up in Minnesota. I follow those kids pretty closely because I think the more that they do and showcase their athleticism and the brand of athleticism here in Savannah, the more coaches will come here to recruit. I think there's a lot of talent here. I think even when you look at smaller schools like Memorial, things like that, I think there's a lot of talent in Savannah and the Coastal Empire in general, Richmond Hill, Southeast Bullock, schools like that. I think there's a lot more talent than people realize, but there have to be these pioneers, these groundbreakers to go out and show people, look, we're good down here in the Coastal Empire. Come recruit us, put us on your team, we'll deliver wins.
And you said Memorial Day School. I do apologize to my good friend, good buddy Mark Sussman and the head coach Michael Thompson. Brian Miller over at Georgia Southern, he's making a name for himself. So it's not just BC or Savannah Christian. There are kids coming from other schools. Memorial Day School, Winston Wright, who I was supposed to have as my athlete of the week, he'll be on next Saturday. He's getting a lot of offers, so it's pretty special. All right, well, we got to go to what we've been waiting for all morning, the breakdown of UGA football with our special analyst. He's only 8 years old, but he's ready to do this. He's ready to take the dogs on. And that's Jack Weeks. You're listening to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah.
Now back to the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio.
And here we go, right here live on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3, WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah. And we know we got a lot of Georgia Bulldog fans, and this is your flagship station for Georgia football every Saturday morning during the season. And sometimes I get kicked off, I get benched, so I have to come on and do another part of my show somewhere else. But I don't mind stepping back for Georgia football. That's what it's all about. I listen to it. I love Georgia football, so that's what everybody's waiting for. Now, we're going into the football season, and, everybody wants Georgia to have a good season. Kirby Smart coming into his second year. What are they going to be like? Well, I think this is pretty exciting. And, I've been doing this now for 4 years with my partner in crime here on the fourth annual College Football Fan Preview Show. And he says, well, let's try a kid's perspective on this. And I said, well, I don't know of a kid that would be able to tell us anything about Georgia football. He says, well, I got the perfect person. And his name is Jack Wheat. If you've been following the news lately, pitch putt drive competition. And, you know, he represented us, made it to the second round, which is pretty good for 8 years old playing in a 7 to 9 year old division. So, he did a good job, and he's sitting here now joining me in the ESPN Savannah radio studio right here in the Savannah Mall. And that's the man himself, the Georgia Bulldog fan himself, Jack Weeks. Jack, how you doing?
Pretty well.
You having fun?
Yep.
Yeah, you like what Dad and I are doing today?
Yep.
How does this sound to you? Does it sound pretty exciting that we're talking about football so much?
Yep.
All right. Well, now it's your turn to kick it off with the Georgia Bulldogs. So what can we expect to see from your Georgia Bulldog football team this year?
I think they'll be a better team.
Better team than last year?
Mm-hmm.
You think Kirby Smart knows what he's doing?
Yep.
Yeah, well, we hope he does. And who's your favorite football player on the Bulldog team? You got to speak loud now.
Probably Sony Michel.
Sony Michel. You don't like Nick Chubb?
I like him, too.
But Sony Michel's better?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're going to be a great running back tandem. So, Sony Michel, you expect them to be better than last year? What do you think is going to be the difference from last year to this year to make them the better team this year?
I think that Jake Beeson will be better.
Well, we got to get a good passing game. We got to hope Jacob Eason's going to be a lot better. You know the football schedule, right? What do you think is the most important game on that schedule?
Probably Notre Dame.
Why?
Because they're a good team.
The good team? You think Dad would take you there?
No.
No. So Georgia against Notre Dame. What about Georgia Tech? You think that's a big game too?
Yep.
I think every game on their schedule is going to be a big game this year, so we got to root for them. You said they're going to be better this year. What's the best... How can I put this? What's the best case or worst case scenario for your Georgia Bulldog team?
If they win like seven or eight, and only lose like four or five.
You think they can run the table though? You think they could beat all those teams?
They can beat a few, but not all.
Not all. What do you like so much about Georgia football?
I like their defense.
Their defense?
Mm-hmm.
You like the way the Dogs play defense?
Yep.
And, you've been to Georgia with Dad, right?
Yep.
What's it like going to a Georgia Bulldog game?
It's just really fun.
How about all those people going crazy? You get involved in that?
No.
No, you sit back and, take it easy?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm going to throw a curveball at you here. What's your favorite sport?
Golf.
Golf. Now, playing at... we're going to jump off Georgia for a second here. Playing in that pitch, drive, putt competition. Was that exciting?
Yes.
Now, you got something big coming up tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about it.
Well, it's important because if we lose the game, we can't move on.
You lose the match, and you're on a team. What team are you on?
The PJ Junior League.
Okay, and that's a new league.
All-Star League.
Go ahead.
I don't know what the team's called.
You don't know what the team's called? They don't have a name or anything like that?
They have...
Savannah East? So we're playing golf. What's your best skill? Is it putting? Is it chipping? Is it driving the ball? I know Dad says you got to work on one, though.
Chipping.
Chipping the ball?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun. You like hitting it, 90 yards away from green and getting it on there? All right. Great job. We're going to throw it over to Dad. And once again, go Dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them out loud. Say it.
Go Dogs.
You got it. And that's Jack Weeks. Great job, Steve. I mean, he knows his stuff. I know it's tough for an 8-year-old to come on here. I think it's a great idea. He told you what he thought. And I don't know about that 7-4 record, though. What do you feel?
He was a little nervous. But I think
that's fine. He did a great job.
He's being honest. I think, we looked at the schedule last night, and we counted up wins and losses, and he came up with 7-5, 6-6. So now you got to remember, he's growing up in my house.
Right.
So
I know.
I'm not a Sunshine and Rainbows Georgia fan, so I don't think we're going to win the national championship every year. I actually think that 8-4, 9-3 is a realistic goal for the team. I think the schedule is tougher than people think, but I actually think that what I'm hearing out of Athens is the coaching staff is putting a lot of emphasis on over-delivering.
Oh yeah!
Stop promising championships and going 8-5.
But that's always every year to year that they're going to win a national championship. When was the last time they won a national championship?
Right, and I think the most important thing that looks like it's changing at Georgia is the culture of expectations. I think Kirby Smart in his first year as a coach learned, okay, I've got a lot of work to do. And he's brought in plenty of talent. He's got plenty of weapons. He's got plenty of capable players. But you also have to have the culture of winning, the culture of the championship culture. And I think that's what he's working on changing, and the other coaches are working on changing at Georgia. So I think it's going to be interesting to see what kind of intensity this team plays with, what sort of a chip-on-the-shoulder mentality. I don't think that they've liked very much of the – you know, the press that they got after after going 8-5, and it was, to be quite frank, an unimpressive 8-5.
Yes, it was.
You really only had one or two wins that were. The Auburn win was wonderful, and of course beating North Carolina up there in the dome was great, but other than that, it was a pretty weak 8-5. I think Jacob Eason is going to be a lot better this year than people thought. He came out of a very weak high school state in the state of Washington. He's admitted that. He wasn't ready for the speed, the size, the strength of the kids he's playing against. So I think he's going to be a lot better. The receivers should be better. The offensive line really can't be much worse. So the defense was good. You know, play defense and get a better on offense and more wins.
Jack said his favorite player, Sony Michel. And I don't care what anybody says. I'll argue from 12 o'clock in the morning till 12 o'clock at night, they have the best pair of running backs in the United States in college football.
I agree. I think if those two guys,
Nick Chubb and Michelle,
were behind a credible offensive line, that they would be talked about in terms of, you know, the best running back duo in the country. I actually think Michelle is more versatile and more dangerous in a lot of ways than
Chubb. He is.
He catches the ball at the backfield.
Yep.
You know,
you can put him in the slot. He's going to go up a linebacker. He's going to have the step on the linebacker.
He's a great blocker. He's a better blocker than Chubb, I think. In terms of pure running back, you know, Chubb may be – people forget how good Chubb was before the injuries. Chubb may be the best running back in the country.
Oh, there's no doubt about it.
Natural running back. But Michelle's kind of a dangerous weapon. Terry Godwin, supposedly at wide receiver, has gotten bigger, stronger. He should be able to get separation, get open. Then you got Isaac Nauta playing and Charlie Warner playing tight end. Jacob Eason's going to have a lot more weapons this year. I think he's going to have more time to throw the ball. I don't think he's going to be as skittish in the pocket. That being said, you still have Florida. Auburn's going to be a lot better. You still got to go to Notre Dame. Notre Dame's absolutely chomping at the bit for that game. I think that Georgia is going to be better. I don't think we're going to see those flat performances that you got out of them last year. I think you're going to see a fired-up football team with a chip on its shoulder. I think the ceiling's 9 wins, though.
All right. Well, you know, I'm going to go one step further. I'm going to say the Dogs are going to pull off 10 this year. I really do. I think they have the capability. What I'm impressed with, I know we talked a lot about what's on the offensive side, but I'm telling you, they got a defense, and we're going back to Eric Russell. We got some junkyard dogs there. That linebacking core, the defensive backs are you know, a year older. I think you're going to see a much improved. And you know what? My philosophy is, and I know I'm full of coaches. Cliche is, offense wins you games, but that defense is going to win you a championship.
Well, I would tend to agree with you. If the other team doesn't score, it's hard for them to win. So I do think it's all going to start with defense, and hopefully the first few games of the season, the defense will carry us. I think that when you go to Notre Dame and play in that environment at night, all those people, national TV audience, that kind of stuff, you know, defense doesn't get nervous, right?
Right.
Defense, you just set them loose.
Right.
Offense is going to be nervous up there.
Right.
Eason has had some negative performances on the road at times, particularly that Ole Miss game last year on a big stage. He could be a little nervous, but I'll tell you this, that defense is going to go into that Notre Dame game, which is one of the biggest games George played in a long time for a lot of different reasons. They're going to go into that game, you know, chomping at the bit, hair on fire. And I think they're going to show people some things. Does that mean you win the game? I don't know. You know, you still got to score.
All right, we got one more segment to go. You're almost done there, Mr. Weeks. You believe this is almost over?
Goes so fast every year.
I know, man. We could talk another hour about Georgia football. Well, we'll be right back. We'll give you our closing thoughts, our predictions on the teams that we talked about. And it's all right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, AM 1400, FM 104.3 WSEG, Sports Talk Savannah.
Now, more Carl DeMasi on ESPN 104.3 WSEG.
And more of the columnist, Stephen Elmo Weeks. That's right, you've been listening to the fourth annual college football preview show, and we've got about 5-6 minutes left here. We got to wrap this up quick. Well, Mr. Weeks, another year, and this one, I would say, out of the four of them, has been the best one so far.
I agree. I think this has been great, man. I think it's great to hear from Leah Colby. Great. Gordon Hunter was fantastic. Mr. Russo, always one of the funniest people I've ever known in my life. Liz Rayburn was fantastic. And then I think Jack did pretty well for his first time on the radio.
Hey, you know, it's a great idea. And I know I'm not blowing my own bubble here. You know me. I'm laid back. I don't want to talk about myself. But that's what this show's about. Kids. People living in the community. And that's what I like to do. And, you know, I know some people don't care for that. But you know what? You can get all this national garbage all you want. I'm tired of listening to it. Let's talk about what's going on here locally with our local programs and local things. And
I love it. I listen to it every Saturday, and I love being on the show, you know, when I get that opportunity. And I think, you know.
And I'm sorry that when I get hyper and excited, I bumble and stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's the beauty of the show, man. It's a local show with a local host. I love it.
So, all right, quickly, we're going to wrap this up. We've got to make some predictions. SEC, ACC, National Championship.
All right, ACC champion. I'm going to go with the former Georgia Bulldog coach Mark Richt and the Miami Hurricanes. I think Miami has a chance to be pretty special this year. They bring back a lot of guys on defense. They got to find a quarterback, but we all know Coach Richt is pretty good at developing quarterbacks. So I'm gonna take Miami Hurricanes. They've never even reached a championship game, but I think they upset Florida State and they get to the championship game.
Just reading a lot of stuff, like I told you, like I do on the internet, and everybody's leaning towards Mark Richt. And I know it was time for him to leave Georgia. I mean, sometimes coaches just get stale at what they're doing in their program. The program needs a little change. Him going back to his alma mater has rejuvenated the man, and he's such a good, down-earth, godly man. I mean, and like you said, he finds a quarterback. Hurricanes.
They're going to be tough.
I'm not going to argue on that one.
Yeah. SEC, no one is going to like what I'm about to say. I don't even like what I'm about to say. I actually think Auburn is going to win the SEC. I think bringing in – Auburn was awfully good last year, and I think Jack could have played quarterback better than Sean White did in some cases. So bringing in Jarrett Stidham, formerly at Baylor, you know, he got out of there while the getting was good. I remember watching him play at Baylor a couple years ago. Outstanding athlete. He can run. He can throw. That's all they were missing. They've got two giant running backs who nobody can tackle. I think Auburn knocks off Alabama and gets into Atlanta for the SEC championship game. I think they win.
Gus is on the hot seat, so yep. This is going to be what he can do. And I hate to say this, I hate to say it, but I'm going on the opposite end. A team that I've been reading about that I'm really impressed with. I can't give you specific, but there's something about everybody talking about them. The Gators.
Yep.
There's something about the Gators this year that has me intrigued. Just a big improvement, a big culture change down there. Muschamp got out of it. And I'll tell you right now, South Carolina is going to be a tough team, yep, too, that for the Bulldogs. But I'm going to say my outside shot here, of course I want Georgia, is I'm going to go with the Gators. There's just something about them this year that really makes me think that they can put it together.
Well, they've been to two straight championship games, and they've got a transfer from Notre Dame, probably going to end up playing quarterback.
It's Zaire.
Malik Zaire.
As long as he doesn't cheat in classroom. If
he can get his head on straight, he's a heck
exactly.
of an athlete. We saw what he did a couple years ago in Death Valley against Clemson. He played awfully well. He's a good player. Can he keep his head on straight long enough?
Well, killed me with Zaire and Notre Dame. Kelly never gave him a chance. The
True.
Kid made a mistake.
True.
He ripped the kid out of the game. Give the kid a chance, okay?
There seems to have been a personality clash there.
Right.
So maybe he comes down to Florida. He feels a little better, more comfortable. Florida's always going to be good. There's never a year Florida's not going to be good.
Right.
So, national championship, I'm going to go with a team. I don't see how you could possibly sleep on this guy. I know they lose a lot of players from last year. I'm going to take the Michigan Wolverines. I think that I think Harbaugh is a guy that when you doubt him, he does his best work. And I've heard nothing but people saying, oh, Michigan can only win seven, eight games this year. Ohio State's too good, that kind of thing. I think that's exactly what Harbaugh is looking for. He'll get his kids motivated. They'll be chewing through glass every game. I think Michigan is gonna win the national championship.
Well, I think you're going to get two SEC teams in the playoff. And one of them is going to be Alabama. I don't know whether it's going to be Auburn or Florida, but there's just something about Nick Saban. He's going to get to that championship game, and this might be the year where he finally puts it all together in a championship game where he doesn't overcoach his football team. And I like the Crimson Tide. I can see them being upset in the championship game of the SEC, but I really see them. It's just a factory. It's a powerhouse. I know Nick Saban's cocky, and he's been around for a long time. I'm just saying that you got to watch the Crimson Tide. You got to watch them roll, and I think they might just roll into it this year.
Hard to bet against Alabama in any given situation. Right. I see some other teams you want to watch out for this year that could be really good off the radar. Southern California, not off the radar, but you know, Southern California, Washington again, Florida State, Ohio State, all the players. Penn State could be good this
year.
Penn State could be really good this year.
I know. Franklin's done a good job down there.
But I think Notre Dame's going to be a surprise team this year. You know who could be a surprise team up in New York, your neck of the woods? I think Syracuse might have a good year.
The Orange. We can't call them Orange Man anymore.
They were exciting last year. And Mississippi State, I think, is a dark horse team.
All right. We got a minute exactly to go. Paper tomorrow. Your column?
Yep. Tomorrow I get to write about something pretty cool. I wrote a story about Wilmington Island Club head professional Patrick Richardson played a very big role in the PGA Championship last week, and I talked to Patrick. He got a little FaceTime on CBS and on the Golf Channel. He was standing right behind Justin Thomas, who won the golf tournament during the trophy presentation. So talk to Patrick. He's a tireless supporter of junior golf and golf in our community. So it's a neat thing. Lots of other cool things going on in golf in the area.
Well, Stephen, I thank you for coming on. Jack, way to go, buddy. Good job. Now you got to go out there and practice that little golf game for tomorrow. You got that?
Yeah.
Just give us a good yup on that microphone.
No.
Good luck, both of you. Thanks for coming in. Great show. Great guests. Got to thank all the guests for coming on. We got about 19 minutes. Remember, the 2 hours always flies by, and I'm not kidding. Remember, regular program's going to come on after I get off the radio. And remember, every Saturday morning from 9 until 11, right here on ESPN Radio Savannah, it's the Carl DeMasi Sports Report. Whatever you may be doing, until next week, always, always hit it out of the park. And it's WSEG Sports Talk Savannah.
Go Dawgs.
This has been the Carl DeMasi Sports Report on ESPN Radio Savannah Hilton Head, AM 1400 and FM 104.3.